ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేష్వభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్ఠికీ. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. So as we do every time, we are going to recite from 2 to 29, the verses from 2 to 29 of the chapter number 3 of the 8th canto. So 8.3.2. So from there we are beginning. Some of these verses may be slightly difficult to pronounce. Don't worry. You can, when we recite, if we keep reciting it slowly, we will catch it. Shri Gajendra Uvacha. ఓం నమో భగవతే తస్మై యత ఏతచ్చిదాత్మకం పురుషాయాది బీజాయ పరేషాయావి ధీమహి యస్మిన్నిదం యతశ్చేదం యేనేదం జైదం స్వయం యోస్మాత్ పరస్మాచ్చ యోస్మాత్ పరస్మాచ్చ పరస్ తం ప్రపద్యే స్వయం భువం. దెన్ ద మీటర్ చేంజెస్ అనదర్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ మీటర్. యస్వాత్మనీదం నిజమాయయార్పితం క్వచిత్ విభాతం క్వచ తత్తిరోహితం అవిద్దదృక్ సాక్షుభయం తదీక్షతే స ఆత్మమూలో వతు మాం పరాత్పరః కాలేన పంచత్వమితేషు కృత్స్నశో లోకేషు పాలేషు చ సర్వహేతుషు తమస్తదాసీత్ గహనం గభీరం యతస్య పారేభి విరాజతే విభుః నయస్య దేవారిషయ పదం విదుర్ జంతుః పునః కోర్హతి గంతుమీరితుం యతా నటస్యాకృతి విచేష్టతో దురత్యయానుక్రమణః సమావతు దిదృక్షవో యస్య పదం సుమంగళం విముక్త సంగా మునయస్సు సాధవః చరంత్యలోకవ్రతమవ్రణం వనే భూతాత్మ భూతాః సుహృదాః సుహృదః సమే గతిః న విద్యతే యస్య చ జన్మ కర్మ వా న నామ రూపే గుణదోష ఏవ వా తథాపి లోకాప్యయ సంభవాయయః స్వమాయయా తాన్యనుకాలం ఋచ్ఛతి తస్మై నమః పరేషాయ బ్రహ్మణేనంత శక్తయే అరూపాయోరురూపాయ నమః ఆశ్చర్యకర్మిణే నమః ఆశ్చర్యకర్మణే
നമ ആത്മപ്രദീപായ സാക്ഷിണേ പരമാത്മനേ നമോ ഗിരാം വിദൂരായ മനസശ്ചേതസാമപി സത്വേന പ്രതിലഭ്യായ നൈഷ്കർമ്മ്യേണ വിപശ്ചിത നമ കൈവല്യനാഥായ നിർവാണസുഖ സംവിദേ നമ ശാന്തായ ഘോരായ മൂഢായ ഗുണധർമ്മിണേ നിർവിശേഷായ സാമ്യായ നമോ ജ്ഞാനഘനായ ച ക്ഷേത്രജ്ഞായ നമസ്തുഭ്യം സർവാധ്യക്ഷായ സാക്ഷിണേ പുരുഷായ ആത്മമൂലായ മൂലപ്രകൃതയേ നമഃ സർവേന്ദ്രിയ ഗുണദ്രഷ്ട്രേ സർവപ്രത്യയ ഹേതവേ അസതാച്ഛായ യോക്തായ സദാഭാസായ തേ നമഃ നമോ നമസ്തേ ഖില കാരണായ നിഷ്കാരണായാദ്ഭുതകാരണായ സർവാഗമാംനായ മഹാർണവായ നമോ അപവർഗായ പരായണായ ഗുണരണിച്ഛിന്ന ചിദുഷ്മപായ തക്ഷോഭ വിസ്ഫൂർജിതമാനസായ നൈഷ്കർമ്മ്യഭാവേന വിവർജിതാഗമ സ്വയം പ്രകാശായ നമസ്കരോമി മാതൃക് പ്രപന്ന പശുപാശ വിമോക്ഷണായ മുക്തായ ഭൂരി കരുണായ നമോലയായ സ്വാംശേന സർവതനു ബ്രഹ്മനസി പ്രതീത പ്രത്യഗ്ദൃശേ ഭഗവതേ ബൃഹതേ നമസ്തേ ആത്മാത്മജാപ്തഗൃഹവിത്തജനേഷു സക്തൈഃ ദുഷ്പ്രാപണായ ഗുണസംഗ വിവർജിതായ മുക്താത്മഭിഃ സ്വഹൃദയേ പരിഭാവിതായ ജ്ഞാനാത്മനേ ഭഗവതേ നമ ഈശ്വരായ യം ധർമ്മകാമാർത്ഥ വിമുക്തികാമാ ഭജന്ത ഇഷ്ടാം ഗതിമാപ്നുവന്തി കിം ചാശിഷോരാത്യപി ദേഹമവ്യയം കരോതു മേദവ്രതയോ വിമോക്ഷണം ഏകാന്തിനോ യസ്യ ന കഞ്ചനാർത്ഥം വാഞ്ഛന്തി യേ വൈ ഭഗവത് പ്രപന്നാഃ അത്യദ്ഭുതം തച്ചരിതം സുമംഗളം ഗായന്ത ആനന്ദ സമുദ്രമഗ്നാഃ തമക്ഷരം ബ്രഹ്മ പരംപരേശ അവ്യക്തമാധ്യാത്മിക യോഗഗമ്യം അതീന്ദ്രിയം സൂക്ഷ്മമിവാതി ദൂരം അനന്തമാദ്യം പരിപൂർണമീഡേ യസ്യ ബ്രഹ്മാദയോ ദേവ വേദാലോകാശ്ചരാചരാഃ നാമരൂപവിഭേദേന ഫലവ്യാച കലയാ കൃതാഃ യഥാർത്ഥിഷോഗ്നേ സവിതുർഗവസ്ഥയോ നിര്യാന്തി സംയാന്ത്യ സകൃത്സ്വരോചിഷഃ తథా యతోయం గుణసం ప్రవాహో బుద్ధిర్మనః ఖాని శరీర సర్గాః స వైన దేవాసురమర్త్యతిర్యం న స్త్రీ న షండో న పుమాన్న జంతుః నాయం గుణః కర్మ న సన్న చాసన్ నిషేధశేషో జయతాదశేషః జిజీవిషేనాహమిహాముయాక్యం అంతర్బహిశ్చావృతయే భయోన్యా ఇచ్ఛామి కాలేన నయస్య విప్లవస్ తస్యాత్మలోకావరణస్య మోక్షం సోహం విశ్వసృజం విశ్వం అవిశ్వం విశ్వవేదసం విశ్వాత్మానం అజం బ్రహ్మ ప్రణతోస్మి పరం పదం యోగరంధిత కర్మాణ హృది యోగ విభావితే యోగినోయం ప్రపశ్యంతి యోగేశం తం నతోస్మ్యహం నమో నమస్తుభ్యమసహ్య వేగ శక్తిత్రయాయ అఖిల ధీగుణాయ ప్రపన్నపాలాయ దురంతశక్తయే కదింద్రియాణామనవాప్యవర్త్మనే నాయం వేద సుమాత్మానం యక్షక్త్యాహం ధియాహతం తం దురత్యయమాహాత్మ్యం భగవంతం ఇతోస్మ్యహం. శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ ఏవం గజేంద్రం ఉపవర్ణిత నిర్విశేషం బ్రహ్మాదయో వివిధ లింగ విదావిమానాః నైతేయదోపసర్పుర్ నిఖిలాత్మకత్వాత్ తత్రాఖిలా మరమయో హరిరావిరాసీత్ తం తద్వదార్థం ఉపలభ్య జగన్నివాసః స్తోత్రం నిశమ్య దివిజై సహ సంస్తువద్భిః ఛందోమయేన గరుడేన సముహ్యమానాశ్ చక్రాయుధోభ్యగమద్ ఆశ్రయతో గజేంద్రః సూంతస్సరస్యుర్బలేన గృహీత ఆర్తో దృష్ట్వా గరుత్మతిహరిం ఖౌపాతచక్రం ఉత్క్షిప్య సాంబుజకరం గిరమాహ కృచ్రాన్ నారాయణాఖిల గురో భగవన్ నమస్తే తం వీక్ష్య పీడితమజః సహసావతీర్య సగ్రాహమాశు సరస కృపయోజహార గ్రాహాత్ విపాటిత ముఖాదరిణా గజేంద్రం సంపశ్యతాం హరిరమోం ఉచదుచ్చ ఉచ్చ్రియాణాం సో వి హావ్ రిసైటెడ్ నాట్ ఓన్లీ గజేంద్రస్ ప్రేయర్స్ ద ప్రేయర్స్ ఆఫ్ శుకదేవ గోస్వామి ఆల్సో టువర్డ్స్ ద ఎండ్ You can go to 19th verse. I will revise it and then I'll go to 20th.
Yam dharma kama artha vimukti kama.
Bhajanta ishtam gatimapnuvanti. Kimcha shisho ratya pidehama vyayam. Karotu medabrayo vimokshanam.
Is the translation, please?
After worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those who are interested in the four principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification and liberation obtain from Him what they desire. What then is to be said of other benedictions? Indeed, sometimes the Lord gives a spiritual body to such ambitious worshippers. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unlimitedly merciful, bestow upon me the benediction of liberation from this present danger and from the materialistic way of life.
Yeah. See, generally, the religion is what distinguishes human beings from animals, Prabhupada says. That means animal plus religion equal to human. That's a mathematical formula, Prabhupada says. So when I was going in the train, I saw in Shivajinagar in the side there were some jhopadipattis, you know. But from there I saw a gopuram also. Even in jhopadipatti people, they have a small temple of God also. So they must be having their worship, you know, bowing down to God. So religion is the additional function of human, Prabhupada says, over animals. But generally speaking, people, why do they do religion? Because they know that we can work hard to get what we want, and even after working hard, things which you don't get, God will give you. For that you should go to God. That's the understanding people have when they go to God. And sometimes we criticize people asking for material benefits, but Bhagavatam says, whether it is material or spiritual or any type of benefit you are looking for, don't go to anyone other than Krishna. That is Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam does not condemn material desires, but Bhagavatam condemns going to somebody lesser than Supreme Personality of Godhead for material desires. So when we talk about Ananya Bhakti doesn't mean you have no material desires, but Ananya Bhakti means even for your desires you only go to God. Like Kardama Muni, for example, he did Ananya Bhakti to Lord Vishnu. And he told Lord Vishnu that I have two duties. One is I have to become your pure devotee, you know, completely absorbed in you with no other aspiration. I have another duty to my father Brahma, that I have to do praja utpatti, because my father has produced me and he has expressed a desire and I want to actually please him. I have promised him that I will please him. So, because I have to produce praja, I don't want to produce a praja in such a manner that I will become entangled in this world. So, you arrange my family life, he said, in such a manner that the family life will be uplifting and elevating, not degrading. So then the Lord asked, so what do you want? He said to the Lord, you only arrange a wife, he told him. So he made the Lord only in charge for his marriage settlement. So then actually some people, when they speak this section of Kardamuni Devahuti, they bring out some wrong lessons from Bhagavatam. Some people say, see, this Kardama, actually, he was a great devotee, but problem is he had one material desire. After all, you see, people are materialistic in this world. He had a material desire and things like that, they talk in a derogatory way, degrading way. But we should know, Kardama Muni, when he did meditation and penances and everything, the Lord shed tears seeing his devotional service. And it is said that Kardama Muni, was he very skinny after doing all meditation and devotional service, or was he healthy? Any of you know? You know? You're sure? Or is it a guess? Sure? Because only two answers you have. Either he was healthy or he was skinny. How was Hiranyakashipu? Skinny completely. Only bones were seen, isn't it? But Kardama Muni was healthy. Can any of you say why he was healthy? The reason is given in Bhagavatam. Because he got the sidelong glance of the Supreme Lord. It is said. Because the Lord's sidelong glance was always falling on him. So he was becoming very ecstatic and healthy. Similarly, it is said, Narada Muni, when the Lord glances at Narada Muni and smiles, Narada Muni's ecstasy goes to so such great height, his body becomes plumpy, that sacred thread breaks and flies away from his body. He becomes so ecstatic. He becomes so stout, it is said. So like this, Narada Muni, his devotional service is appreciated. And the point here is this, that in this world, there are many charitable people, including demigods also. But the most charitable person is the Supreme Lord. That is why he says, Kim cha shisho ratyapi deham abhyayam. Third line he says there. He says, some people are dharmakami, some people are arthakami, some people are kamakami, some are mokshakami. So you will see that those are arthakami. Who is arthakami? Dhruva Maharaj. Somebody is a kamakami, Pururava. Somebody is a mokshakami. Somebody comes to the Supreme Lord for moksha also. There are people who pray to him for moksha, like that. So he says that whatever kama you be, he says, Gajendra says, that Supreme Lord is capable of awarding everything. Unlike the demigods. The demigods told Muchukunda that we will give you, Muchukunda, if you want an apsara, you take an apsara. You want gold and silver, we'll give you gold and silver. You want a position in heaven as a demigod, we will give you. So we will give you, or you want to become a Sarvabhauma, king of the earth, we can make you. What do you want? Or you want nice eatables to eat for your whole life, we can arrange for it. But they said one thing, Rite Kaivalyam, they said, except liberation from this world, we can give you everything else. So demigods knew the limitation, but the Supreme Lord can give that also. There is nothing that he cannot give. So you will see, the Bhagavatam stresses on this point. Like you see, many of the IT engineers work Monday to Friday. They are ready to die for the company, practically working 12 hours a day. But what can the company promise them in return? How much they can give? They give a salary in which there is so much of cutting. You know, income tax, sales tax, this tax, that tax, so many tax. At last what comes, the realizable salary is very little. Isn't it? So you will see that in this world, the people, even the so-called charitable people also, they have limitation in giving. Somebody has money, big money, but he has no charitable nature. Somebody has charitable nature, but he has no big money. But he is saying, Gajendra is saying, my dear Lord, you are such a Lord that, you know, nobody has to chase after you. In fact, you are waiting for the people. Come here, what do you want? I'll give you anything you want. You are ready to provide anything that anyone wants. There is a story of one devotee of Shiva. He wanted to very smartly pray to Shiva that he wanted to trick Lord Shiva. So he went and prayed to Shiva. After long penance, Shiva came and he prayed to him. Because this man, his man's wife was very intelligent. She had told her husband what to ask for. Because they had no son. At the same time, they were very poor also. So he wanted to become rich and he also wanted a son. But Shiva said, I can give you only one boon. So his wife had told him what to ask. She told him, you ask for a grandson who will swing in a golden jhola. Like that she asked. See, for you to swing in a golden jhola, you have to be rich. And for you to have a grandson, you have to have a son. Correct, no? That's how you got both. So, but when you go to Krishna, you don't have to do any trick. Whatever you want to ask, any number of boons you can ask. It's like, what do you call it? That example is given in Bhagavad Gita. Like, you know, if there is a running river in your village, you know, all your needs of water is fulfilled. You don't have to, you know, ration the water. Like nowadays they ration the water, only 2 hours water will come or something like that. If you have a running river, Krishna is like a running river. Whatever you need. That's why he is saying that we can get whatever we want. Any benediction we want, Lord can provide unlimitedly. And then he is saying, Kim cha shisho ratyapi deham avyayam. What to speak of asking for any, even up to moksha, he is telling that Lord can give deham avyaya devaham. Avyaya deham means spiritual body. He can even give a spiritual body. That is why Sridhara Swami in his commentary says, Vimokshanam karotu na adhikam prarthaya. He says, my dear Lord, please give me Vimokshanam na adhikam prarthaya means that one little thing you give me. Give me a spiritual body and make me your eternal servant. That's the only thing I ask you. Don't give me anything else, he says. So is it a small boon? It is such a boon that the boon of which every other boon is a subset. You understand, no? Just like we tell the story of how a king was ready to give any benediction to a passerby in a jungle. But that passerby, of course one passerby, he asked for the golden button of the king. He was not very intelligent. Whereas another passerby told the king, you know, I just want to be your, you know, friend. You are such a kind, nice king. How nice if one can have a friend like you. And the king thought, what does it mean to be a friend? A friend means he has to stay close to me. I should see him almost every day. I should have some exchanges with him. I should play with him, dine with him. Then the king said, if you have asked the boon, if I have to fulfill the boon, you have to live with me. So he put him in his chariot and took him to the, you know, palace. And then in the palace he kept him like his own brother. So he played with the king, he ate with the king, he dressed very nicely with the dress given by the king. So he became a part of king's family. Correct, no? So just as that man was very intelligent to ask the king, my dear king, I don't want anything, just make me your friend. Like that he said. Similarly, the Gajendra is saying, Karotu Yamokshanam, my dear Lord, I don't want anything. Just na adhikam prarthiye. I'm not asking for anything very big. Just, you know, liberate me from this world and take me to your abode and give me a spiritual body and keep me with you, that's all. Besides that, I don't want anything. Like that he is telling. Which clearly goes to show Gajendra doesn't have desire to live in this world. So that we read earlier, if you remember, Jiji, I think it's coming later. Jiji Vishe Naham Ihamuyakam, 25th verse we will study. That Gajendra did not have a desire to be liberated from the crocodile so that he can again comfortably live with his, you know, other elephants in the Trikuta Parvat area, you know, moving around and drinking water in the lake again, carefully, with more care. One time he got caught by a crocodile, so next time he will not get into the water, you know. He will stand in the bank and only put his trunk to drink or something. So he didn't ask for such a body, actually. He says that, take me to your abode, make me your servant. That is his prayer. Karotu imokshanam, he says. Ekantino yasyana kanchanartham vanchanti evai bhagavat prapannaha अत्यद्भुतं तच्चरितं सुमंगलं गायन्त आनंद समुद्रमग्नाः. See, he is telling that he is talking about the Lord may ask him that, you know, if I am providing everything, why don't people come to me? Actually, then Gajendra says, who are the people who come to you? Ekanti. Ekanti no means eka anti means ekanta. People whose demands ends with that eka. All their needs and demands in their life ends with that one eka Lord. Eka means the Supreme Lord. They don't go to anyone else. They're called as ekanti no. Na kanchanartha means even from you, my dear Lord, they don't desire anything. Which means, do you think they will go to Devadas and ask for anything else? If they don't ask from you. And then he's vanchanti evai bhagavat prapanna, they are all fully surrendered to you. And then he's saying, ati adbhutam tat charitam sumangalam. Here he gives the reason why a pure devotee has no material desires. Because he delights in your sumangala charitam, auspicious pastimes. And they give a devotee such joy that he does not aspire to enjoy anything else. Just like, for example, you will see that at every age we have a different type of taste for enjoying. Like children want to play with toys. When you grow up, you play with chess. You may not play with toys. You play chess if you are contemplative. Or you may play cricket if you want to play outdoor game. So your tastes also change as you grow. Is it not? So as you grow further and further, you will see like the teenager's taste is different from people who are married and having a couple of children. The tastes are different, you will see. So, When one becomes a pure devotee, his material tastes, they become very feeble. Rather, the spiritual tastes awaken completely. So that is why he is telling that when you hear Krishna Katha, it is so delightful that they become nakanchanartham, he is telling. They don't find the material enjoyment any more tasty. It is pathetic. Just like we have seen our students who come for our programs, you know, they have been eating meat for many years. But once they become devotees, they give up meat eating completely. And after 1 year or so, we ask them, they say, some of the students even cry that I have eaten goats and chicken and so many creatures. You know, they all had their souls. I didn't mind their souls. I cut them and I ate them. Some of them lament also. So they take a, I mean, they lose the earlier taste. Now, for us to leave those gross activities like meat eating or wine is very easy. But there may be some subtle material taste which we may not be able to give up. And they are clinging on to us. But as we surrender more and more, even they will go away also. They will also go away. Some boys ask, even after joining our center, can we continue to hear cinema music? Some Bollywood music. They ask because the taste is still there. Because if you wash a wine pot, throw the wine away and you wash it with the river water and you dry it with a cloth and you smell it, still the wine smell comes. That is called vasana. Similarly, we also, when we have desires, after some time the vasanas still continue, but the bhakti is such a powerful process that even the vasanas will be finished. What to speak of vasanas? Even vrittis will be finished. Vritti develops into vasana, vasana develops into sanskara, no? So even the very vrittis are like small ripples in the mind. Vasanas are bigger waves, and sanskara means tidal wave. It's like that. So even the very vrittis or impressions will be wiped out. Of material taste. And devotees develops a spiritual taste, he says. And he says, Gayanta Ananda Samudra Magna, they delight in your katha, like a person enjoys delighting in water while bathing, correct? No? Like you see, in an ocean also, sometimes when you go for yatra, we have some place to bathe. It is very difficult to bring devotees out of the water. They are generally announced. After half an hour, everybody should come. Somebody is taking mic and announcing. Generally, the yatra organizers also have an estimation of time. They will say half an hour, but they will keep 1 hour for bathing. They know that these fellows won't come out easily. So we are enjoying in ordinary waters, but the ordinary waters in this world can prove to be dangerous also because you can get drowned also. Whereas this ocean that he is speaking about is actually Katha Anand. It's Anand arising from Naam and Katha. Divya Naam and Divya Katha. In this you can drown deep also and you will have no suffocation at all. In fact, you will enjoy even more. He says, that is the kind of Gayanta Ananda Samudra Magna, he is saying. They always delight in that. So, this is a very important word. Why he is using this example of Samudra Magna? Our Katha that we hear, when you hear Katha, the katha gradually takes a person so much insight that one forgets the external environment. One forgets the outside world. The description of all the kathas in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they bring the picture of the devotee and the Lord and their interaction between the two. This is the essence of katha. And when one thinks of it, for example, how Krishna dealt with Sudama Brahman. So a devotee develops a desire. I also want to, you know, I don't mind being poor if Krishna will embrace me. I don't mind being poor if Krishna will accept some chipped rice from me. Isn't it? So, one gentleman, you know, from South India, you know, he read one of the books which I wrote for the youth, you know. So he completed the book and he very deeply appreciated. So he sent one devotee, thanking that he wanted to give some gift, you know. So that devotee gave me, I opened the paper, it was chipped rice. It was chipped rice, little bit of chipped rice. So at the very first moment when somebody gives you chipped rice, you know, because it was kept in a nice cover, the cover, you know, gave me appearance that there is some big check inside. You know? When he opened it, when he removed it, there was only chipped rice. And then there was one chit inside, I found. So then I took out the chit, and the chit it was written, Lord Krishna was such a magnanimous Lord that he was simply satisfied with chipped rice. And I am sending you something that is very dear to the heart of Krishna. So I am sending you this chipped rice. He said, are you happy? That was written. And then he wrote, if you are happy, turn this leaf around. He said, so although I was not fully happy, still I turned around. And there it was written, now you ask the same person for a second cover, he said. Then I asked him, did he give you one more cover? And that man said, yes, yes. And that man said, actually he gave me two covers and told me to give you only one. And on your own, if you ask, then I will give the second one, he said. So because you asked me now, now I am giving you this. That I saw, it was 25,000 rupees check. So very intelligent devotee, no? So, anyway, I was telling you this because Krishna is such an amazing Lord that he is satisfied simply with chipped rice, isn't it? Or with some, you know, a banana peel. He is satisfied with that. So when we read such pastimes, we so much fall in love with him that we don't want to exchange any material commodity with him. We feel, you know, we feel uneasy to ask him for anything mundane material because he is giving his heart, he is giving his soul, he is giving himself. And it becomes difficult for you to ask for some material favor from him. Still you can ask in case one is very strongly feeling like asking, one may ask him. Like Kardamuni asked or this Dhruva Maharaj asked. Because like one of the devotees was telling, he was coming in the, you know, car from Mumbai to Pune so that he can reach the lecture on time here one of the days. One evening lecture he had and morning lecture he had. But evening when he was coming somewhere near that Lonavala or somewhere, in those days the express highway was not there. So the car got punctured and you know, he had the stepney also, but already it became almost 7 o'clock or so there. It became dark. So wondering what to do. Then he found some thatched cottage in that Lonavala, thick jungle mountains. So he went to the door and battered the door. Somebody opened the door and that man asked, can I help you? Then this Prabhuji said, I got pretty delayed. I will go in the morning now. I will cancel the lecture. He called up and canceled the evening lecture and decided to go in the morning. And the farmer living there, he gave him place to stay. He gave him... Actually, this Prabhuji was a devotee. So he said, I don't eat out anywhere. So the man gave him all ingredients for cooking. So Prabhuji cooked and offered to Krishna and ate prasad and slept at night. Morning when he got up, Prabhuji removed some 500 rupee note and gave him, you know, please take it. And the farmer was such a gentleman. He said, sir, you are a guest in my home. That farmer quoted, Atithi Devo Bhava. He said, you are like a devata, come to my home. I am happy that I got to serve you. And that too, he said, you are a devotee of God. I should not take any money from you. Please be happy. You know, whenever you wish, you may come here, he said. Now this Prabhuji felt very uneasy. I have taken favor from him, but I am not giving him anything. So what to do? Then he took out his card and told him, that, you know, I am in Juhu temple. This is my card. Anytime you come to our temple, I will feed you Rajbhog Prasad. When you come to our temple. And you can come. I have an office there and you can come anytime. So, this Prabhuji was telling us when he came to Pune next day. He said, you know, when do you give a card to somebody and invite him to your home? Only when you feel some intimacy. Correct, no? You don't give your card or your address to everybody. Of course, some people give to everybody. They have that habit also. And because they have a habit of showing off, some people, they give card. Generally, very rich people, big people, they give card to one another. They never use the card ever. As soon as you go home, it goes to dustbin or somewhere. You don't use it. But here, if you are inviting somebody to your home, means they have to be some intimacy. Because that farmer served freely, he said. Same with Krishna also. When you see that he is, you know, giving so much love and he's giving himself. Then he says that the devotees lose And all the material allurements of this world become very insignificant, he says. Tamaksharam brahma paramparesham. Tamaksharam brahma paramparesham. Avyaktam adhyatmika yoga gamyam. Atindriyam sukshmamivati duram. Anantamadhyam paripurnamide. Yeah. He is saying, Tam Aksharam, my dear. He is saying, my dear Lord, you are actually Akshara. He is saying. See, Kshara means it gradually depreciates and suddenly vanishes. See our material body, it gradually depreciates and tak, one day it is fed to the fire. Suddenly it disappears. So this is the definition of Kshara in this world. Like in the morning you see a flower, gradually it depreciates in the evening. It dries up in the evening. And next day, you know, it becomes powder. It becomes completely finished. It vanishes. No more. You don't see the shape anymore. So Kshara is like that in this world. But you are Akshara. you never have any depreciation. You are destroyed. You are Supreme Brahman. You eternally exist. Whereas all the jivas like us in this world, bhutva bhutva praliyate. This world is created, destroyed. Bodies are created and destroyed. But you are Aksharam, he's saying. And you are Paraisham, he's saying. You are Supreme Controller. Yeah. See, Paresham means other devatas fear you and they serve you. Madhubayat, Vati, Vatoyam. So you have complete control over all the administrators of the universe. Just like, you may be aware, in the express highway also, you have to keep some limited speed. You know that? If your speed exceeds a certain limit, then they stop the car and they fine you. You know that? So you will see sometimes people speed up their car too much and when they see a police, immediately they slow down. As soon as they see the police. Similarly, the devatas also, they can show off for some time and Lord comes, they become very subdued. So he's saying, you are the Paresham. And Paramparesham means you are the supreme above all the prominent devatas like even Brahma and Shiva also. Like that he's saying. And avyaktam, which means you are not manifest to the eyes of common people very easily. Like he says, avyaktam murtina. Krishna says, where he says? 9.4 Bhagavad Gita. You only manifest to your pure devotees. And adhyatmika yoga gamyam, he is telling. By adhyatmika yoga, you are obtainable, he is telling. But not by simply doing yoga in yoga institutes nowadays. But you need adhyatmika yoga, not mundane yoga. Nowadays, most people are teaching what yoga? Yeah, simple mundane yoga. How to keep the body fit, healthy. People go for a morning brisk walk. People do kapalabhati. People do, you know, yogasanas. And what for? What are the intention behind the doing all this? First they think of having good health and then improved sense gratification. Correct, no? So is that adhyatmic yoga? No. That's mundane yoga, you see. Here he's saying, by adhyatmika yoga gamyam, you are only obtainable by adhyatmika yoga, which means actually bhakti yoga. By bhakti yoga you are obtainable. And also many have obtained you by bhakti yoga. Bhavo jnana tapasa puta matbhava magata. In Gita he says, no, many, many people in the past have, you know, performed chanting like we are doing. They have performed bhakti yoga. They have seen you eye to eye. And Vaikuntha airplane has taken them back. See, Dhruva Maharaj, Vaikuntha airplane took him. Ajamila, Vaikuntha airplane took him. Isn't it? You read like that, Prithu Maharaj and Archi, Vaikuntha airplane came and took them also. Similarly, you find our Tukaram. So many have practiced and they have attained your abode. It's possible to obtain you. Atindriyam, you are beyond the range of senses. But wait a minute, don't get discouraged that Lord is beyond the range of our senses. You are sukshmam, that may also discourage us. Sukshmam means very subtle. Because the soul is the subtlest and super soul is beyond the soul also. So subtlest of the subtle. But, ivati duram. See, sukshmam he doesn't say. Sukshmam iva he says. That means what? Iva means like. Yeah. Iva ati duram means you appear to be far away. What is the meaning of that? You are not far away, but you appear to be far away. But it is possible for one to obtain. For example, say you take a city guy, somebody from city, like one of us, and somebody gives you a plot of land and tells you, you know, get out, channa dal, get out, you know, beetroots and potatoes. So city people, many people may not be aware of how to do gardening in such a manner that, you know, you can get out so many grains and fruits and vegetables from this thing. But in a village, if you go, some farmer who has been regularly doing, you tell him, give him a piece of land, immediately he will set it rolling, and, you know, within 3 months, 6 months, he releases so many things. Which means he knows the process by which he can bring out vegetables, fruits, everything, which are hidden in the ground. Similarly, Lord is also hidden from our vision. We can make him manifest through Bhakti Yoga. And those who don't know Bhakti Yoga, for them he is very duram. Ati duram. Like for example, the materialistic people whose consciousness is always absorbed in material enjoyment. Early morning they get up and walk with the dog. You can see that. And they are, nowadays they are sitting all the time with their mobiles. All the time traveling here and there. Going to hotels, going to movies, putting up parties, watching cricket all day. So these are examples of people who, for whom God is far, far away. But although he appears far away, he is not far away. You can access him, he is saying. Anantam adyam paripurna mide, he is saying. He is the original cause of everything. This point is one of the emphasis points of Gajendra. That Lord is the original source of everything. And he is completely full. And he is obtainable. So in this way, he is praising the Lord. See what he says in the 22nd verse. Yasya brahmadayo deva veda lokashtara charaha nama rupa vibhedena Falagvya chakalaya krita. See, when Gajendra was looking up at the sky and calling these prayers, crying tears, at that time he saw there was Brahma, Shiva, Indra, all kinds of devatas were hovering in the sky, watching this sight. At that time he said this. He is saying, Yasya means, of that Supreme Lord, Brahma Adayo, he has said, which means, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, all the other demigods, Deva, and all the Vedas personified also, Veda, and Lokahas Charachara, which means all the other lokas also, like Yamaloka and other different lokas, Gandharva Loka, Charana Loka, Vidyadhara Loka, all of them, and all their kings also, all the demigods also, and the entire Characharam, he says, Nama, Rupa, they all have their respective names. They have their forms and their bodies also. But they are all kalayakrita. They are all simply your portions. Amsha. They are all simply your part and part. Which clearly goes to show, Gajendra is aware of the difference between capital G-O-D and small G-O-D. It's very clear. He has no ambiguity. And he has made up his mind not to take any help from these demigods. See, the demigods were watching, and they all were actually indirectly proposing to Gajendra, you can call us, we are ready to come and help you, and we can pull you out of the water and, you know, help you get rid of the crocodile. They indirectly were showing up themselves and expecting, anticipating that Gajendra will call our names. But then Gajendra said this verse, yasya brahmadyo deva veda lokasarachara. He said, all these guys who are all parts and parts are hovering around, but I am not calling them, I am calling you. Like that he told the Supreme Lord. So the demigod said, then what can we do with you? Now you die now. You have no other hope without us. Because you are calling the Supreme Lord who is far away, and he is not going to come for such a small things. There are millions of elephants like you, and there are millions of crocodiles like you. You know, for every crocodile bite, elephant is crying, and, you know, Supreme Lord cannot come. He is a very busy person. and he has appointed all of us, and we are here, administrators of the universe. If you are smart, you should have called us, and we would have come. And you are not calling, so we can't help you. So they felt a little offended like this.
Yata artishogne saviturgavastayo Niryanti samyantya sakritsvarochishaha Tathayatoyam gunasam prabaho Buddhirmana khani sharira sargaha.
Amazing. You know what he is saying? Yatharchi shognehe savitur gabastayo. And he says, just like in a fire, the fire sparks come out of the fire and they re-enter the fire. Several sparks of fire are coming out and again they re-enter. In the same manner, he says, just like in an ocean, you will see, they all are turned into clouds, they become rivers, and they all enter back into ocean. Ultimately, ocean is the source of water, which actually is turned into rain, and then rivers and everything. Similarly, he is telling, my dear Lord, Niryanti Samyanti. In this world, hundreds and thousands of living entities are created. Some are flying in the sky, some are swimming underwater, some are crawling on the ground, some are like human beings walking. There are also other beasts, animals also. But all their material bodies are made up of 24 elements, which actually emanates from you. They all have obtained. And all these elements, they go back. Just like I'm in Vada now, I see in this season, summer is coming now, the green trees, the leaves are all turning dry now. And the leaves are falling on the ground. Everywhere you can find the dried leaves, you can find. And they again mix with the earth, isn't it? And then later on from the earth, the tree draws water and everything, and then again the leaves come. So in this way, the 24 elements are used for the living entities to get their bodies. Not only bodies, he's saying, even the buddhi also he's saying. Khani means senses. Mana means mind. Buddhir, mana, khani. Even the intelligence, buddhi, mind, they're all made of subtle matter. Both gross matter and subtle matter, my dear Lord, it comes from you and mixes back with you. Like it's like chapati gata, you remove one gola from it, then you put it all together and make again big gata. It's like that. All the elements are taken by the living entity to get a body, to run here and there and enjoy. And after he has finished his one lifetime, he gives it back to the material nature. Then he takes once again. In this way, you are actually the source which to supply all these different type of elements, like that he is saying. Actually, once in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one chapter called Cause of All Causes. Where when Narada was a small boy, he asked his father a brilliant question. He asked his father, my dear father, you are sitting alone, so you seem to be God yourself, he said. And he said, yad vijnano, yad adaro, yad parastvam, yad atmakah, ekasrajasi bhutani, bhutari evatma mayaya, he asked him. He said, yadu vijnano, you seem, my dear father, you seem to be a supreme scientist. You seem to be knowing everything, he said. Yadu adaro, you seem to be having no boss, and you seem to be the bossanu boss. You are the boss of all bosses, because I don't see anyone else, he said. Yadu adaro. You have no adar, you have no basis, you are the basis of all, he said. Yadu vijnano, yadu adaro, yad parastvam, you have no one to report to. Yadu atmaha, you are supreme yourself, that is Yadatmaka. And then he asked him, Yeka Srijasi Bhutani, do you create everything else all alone by your own efforts? Bhutaire Vatma Maya. He's asking him, I am seeing so many creatures, 8.4 million species are created. Have you done these things by your own efforts? By your own abilities and energies? Like that he asked. See, when Brahma heard this question, he congratulated Narada boy. And he became angry with him also. Is there anyone of you here, you congratulate somebody and suddenly become angry on them? You ever do that?
Water bottle.
It's in that bag, yeah. When do you congratulate someone and become angry? Brahma had both emotions simultaneously. Ajil Brahma said, my dear boy, because your question is helping me to remember Lord Vasudev, I congratulate you. But because you are calling me God, I am angry with you. Because only fools call me God. They think I am God. But actually he said, I am not God, I am gardener. I am a gardener who has taken seeds from God and sown the seeds and watered, and when the plants come and fruits come, flowers come, people say, I am the source of all this. It's all coming from the seeds. Krishna is aham bija pradapita. Like that he tells him. At that time, he told, you know, God is like a spider. He gave the example of spider. You see, the spider releases something from the mouth. And then it goes like this. You have seen that? It goes like this. And then finally comes to the center like this. And sits there comfortably. So, Lord is also compared to that spider. Why? Vishnu also creates all the, you know, Mahatattva, everything, and then sits in the center. And then like spider releases from the mouth, similarly he releases the cobweb kind of thing, isn't it? And another reason why the example is given of a spider is never entangled in the cobweb, correct? But who is entangled? When a moth or something comes flying, that gets entangled. Similarly, in this universe, Vishnu is lying in the center, but he is not entangled. We jivas are like moth. We come and get entangled here. That's one reason. Another reason, the cobweb is very artistically made. So the Lord's creation is also artistic. So Lord is compared to the spider creating this amazing material world with all its vichitrata. Like that. So he tells that example. So here also he is telling, and then later on if a cobweb wants to migrate to another place, you know what he will do? He will pull all the cobweb into his mouth, keep it here, and then fly to another place. Similarly, Lord also, Niryanti, Samyanti. He creates everything, and then he withdraws everything into himself and he goes. Correct, no? So, we should know how insignificant we are and how great the Lord is. See, we are such a tiny living beings. Like this, so many lights we have to put in the night. Millions and millions of nights, lights, isn't it? But when Lord wants to give light, one sun he introduces in the sky. Boom, that's all. The whole, you know, the whole world is lit up. Yeah. So, and then he is saying, yeah. Savaina devasura martya teryam. Na strina shando napuman na jantuhu. Nayam gunak karma na sanna chasan. Nisheda shesho jayatada sheshaha. So I read each of the paras separately and I told, because the first one paragraph says, Yasya Brahmadiyo says that, you know, all the devatas are part and parcels of the Lord. The next paragraph which we read says that everything emanates from the Lord and everything goes back to the Lord. And in between, human beings come and they mark their land. This is my land, this is your land and all that. They do that, correct, no? Just like, say, you go to market and bring some sugar and you keep it down and you go to bathroom to bathe and come back and see some sugar or some sweet eatable, it will be filled with ants, correct, no? Although it's filled with ants, it doesn't mean that it belongs to ants. It belongs to you, but they have occupied it now. Similarly, everything belongs to God, but the jivas are like ants, they have occupied and they are marking, this is mine, that is yours, crazily, huh? Isn't it? So we have to understand this fact. That is why he is saying, Niryanti Samyanti, he is saying. So one thing you will see, when you go to the marketplace, one fellow is selling, another fellow is buying. Somebody is selling sabji, somebody is buying sabji. Somebody is selling fruit, somebody is buying fruit. Somebody is selling timber, somebody is buying timber. So we see the selling man and buying man, we don't see the producing man. Who is that producing person? That is God. That nobody talks about. Huh? People are thinking, I will sell and make money. That fellow is thinking, I will pay money and buy it. Isn't it? So this loka is mainly, Niryanti Samyanti said, try to see the person who is producing everything. That's the emphasis there. And now in this last, Savaina Deva Asura, that Supreme Lord, don't think he is a devata. He is not one of the devatas. He stands, he is like odd man out. Just like we used to have this mental ability test in which they will say, find the odd man out, isn't it? So we can put like this, you know, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Krishna. Who is the odd man out?
Krishna.
Why? Because he is not one of the Deva, he says, isn't it? Or you can make, you can say that, you know, like Ugrasena is ruling, you know, Dwaraka. You say another king ruling another place. Put the names of four kings and put Krishna also. He will be odd man out because he is saying he is not a Deva, he is not Asura, he is not a Martya. Martya actually means in this world every human being has to die. So it's called a Martya. But the Lord is beyond death. And Tiriyang, Tiriyang Nararishishu Adasu, Tadatyanta Vidambanam, she says, no? Our Kunti Manani says. He is, in this way, na stri, he is not a woman, na shando, he is not a eunuch, na puman, he is not a human, male also, na jantu, he is not any ordinary creature. In this way, why is he saying there is a reason for this? You see, there is a pastime of Krishna. Once Krishna and cowherd boys were taking bath in one lake, one pond. And Radharani and all the Sakis, they were taking bath in another pond. So there was a competition. The competition was on that particular day, who will first come out of the pond after taking bath and put up all their dress and ornaments and garland and mukut and everything first. So they will be considered the winner. So all the gopis said Radharani will win. All the covered boys said Krishna will win. So of course all of them jumped into the water. So when Radharani came out, so of course she came out and she put on her dress. And then, but she found that one earring was there, one earring was missing. One nose ring was missing. One bangle was missing. One nupur was missing. And she was wondering what happened. And all of them were worn by Krishna. Krishna was already wearing it. So Krishna said, see, I came back so fast, I am wearing my ornaments also and part of yours also. He said. So seeing this, one great Tamil poet, he is singing a song in South India. He is saying, Anallan, Pennallan, Aliyallan, he says, which means, you are not a male, you are not a female, you are not a eunuch. My dear Lord, you transcend all this. You are simply a emperor of sweetness, he says. So, you cannot be counted amongst the ordinary males or females in this world. Radha and Krishna should not be seen as a male and female. Actually, why the only the Brahman initiated devotees are allowed to dress them, decorate them? We require a certain type of consciousness before we can touch the deities and dress them, decorate them. We have to see them as our apple of our eye, as the Lord of our life. And beyond male-female conception. Male-female conception is actually a Prabhupada's perverted distinction. It is simply, our bodies are like a sack only. Somebody is wearing a female sack, somebody has a male sack. It is simply sack. Inside the sack, the soul is one in quality in all the bodies. Male or female, everything. So, just as the soul is one in quality, so there are only two genders. One is Purusha, one is Prakriti. So Lord is Purusha and we are Prakriti. But in Prakriti, we make male-female distinction at all. This is very superficial. So, just like Prabhupada asked somebody, one man was wearing a black coat, one man was wearing a white coat. Prabhupada said, imagine if I call you, hey, white coat, come here. Hey, black coat, go and sit there. You will feel offended because you are not the coat. Similarly, we should not attach too much importance to male-female bodies. We should see ourselves as actually a part and parcel of Krishna. That's ideal. You see, we should see one another as amsha of Krishna rather than see from a material point of view. That's why here also he is saying, Savaina Deva Suramartya Tiriya Nastri Nashando Napuma Najantu. The Lord is not any of these things. Nayam Guna Karma Nasanna Chasan. The Lord is Gunatit. He is not affected. You know this verse? Please repeat this verse. Trivir Gunamayair Bhavair Ye bisarvamidam jagat mohitam nabi janati mame vyaparamavyayam Yechaiva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasaschaye mataye veti tanviddhi natpaham te shute mayi. See, such an important verse. He says, Yechaiva sattvika bhava sattvik, rajasik, tamasik, all these three gunas are coming from whom? Krishna says, coming from me. But immediately one may think, oh, it's coming from you. Then we may think, that means Krishna also is afflicted by this. He says, I am not affected by them. Although it comes from me. But I am not affected by them, he says. So, Lord creates the three gunas and puts Durga Devi as in charge and gives the three gunas to her. She is called as Daivihi Esha Gunamai. And she tells her, here are the three gunas for you to conduct the living entities. You conduct them. So Lord controls the living entities through the three gunas, which he hands over to Durga. Through Durga he is able to do that. But he himself is unaffected by it. That's what he is saying. Nayam guna. Nor is he affected by karma. What is that verse? Namam karmani limpanti. Name karma phileis praha. I am like a drop of water on lotus leaf. I am untouched by karma, he is saying. You see, some people foolishly say that, you know, Lord Ram, you know, must have killed, he killed Vali from behind or something like that. Therefore, Krishna, when Lord Ram came as Krishna, he was hit by a hunter from behind. So, this appears mathematically matching, but this is a great aparadha. Because this is Mayavadi's explanation. This is not given in the Shastra at all, anywhere. And besides that, we should know the Jara hunter who hits Lord with this thing, he is not different from Bhrigumuni. And why Bhrigumuni became a hunter? Bhrigumuni's birth is a very exalted birth. From that position, why he became a hunter eating flesh and drinking blood? Because of the offense he did to Lord Vishnu. What was the offense he did? He kicked Lord Vishnu in the chest. So, afterwards he was crying, for the sake of conducting test, I kicked you on the chest. So, it was a very great offense I did. Like that he cried out. So, Lord said, don't worry, all this offense will be gone. I will make an arrangement for you. So, the Lord arranged him to become a hunter who was eating flesh and drinking blood, like that. And then Lord Krishna was about to depart and go back home, back to spiritual world, you know. Then he thought, what about delivering Bhrigumuni? Suddenly, how to make Bhrigumuni suddenly a serious devotee? How to accelerate his devotion service? See, one easy way to accelerate devotion service is to create humility in the heart of someone. But how to create humility? So he made a plan. Krishna made a plan that, you know, when that hunter was searching for a deer, and then he sent actually, there was a big warfare going on there. In such a place, no timid deer would come there, correct, no? Will a timid deer come in a place where there are hundreds and thousands of Yadu warriors fighting? Deers generally are fearful creatures. So, how the hunter expected a deer itself is very amazing, correct, no? He searched for a deer. And then he sees Krishna's lotus feet considering the deer, he sends the arrow. And then he comes out and sees, he saw that I have hit Lord's feet. So he came running to the Lord, and the next shloka says he fell down at Lord's feet and cried. But Lord, nothing happened to Krishna's feet. Why? Because Sachidananda feet. And there is no explanation that, you know, the arrow pierced Krishna's feet and Krishna said, he cried or something. And then it was bleeding and some malapati was put or something. No description there. Because the arrow cannot touch, arrow cannot pierce the Lord's feet. And Lord Krishna immediately showed him a Chaturbhuja form. And the Shankh, Chakra, Gada, Padma were all in their personified weapons. And Lord told Jara, now your life is full, complete. Your heart is crying in great repentance. And so you took a hunter's birth, plus now your heart is crying in repentance. These two make your offense and sinful reactions completely relieved from your account. Now you ascend to Vaikuntha, he said. Immediately Jara flew to Vaikuntha. He got a Chaturbhuja roop and then he went to Vaikuntha, you'll see. But why I'm telling you this, sometimes there are some foolish people, there is one organization, I don't want to tell the name, they say, Rama and Krishna have done lot of punya. Because of that, they got very handsome bodies. They say like that. So they think of Rama and Krishna like you and me. So it's a great offense to see if our Narendra Modi ji comes to our Yerwada jail in Pune. Imagine some of the jail prisoners. They say, Prime Minister is entering jail. Maybe he is also a thief like you and me. If they say like that, then they will be put in another deeper jail, bigger jail you have to put them, isn't it? Or if all the thieves say, because the PM has come into jail, so I am also PM, if they say. That is another offense. Correct, no? Both are offenses. To make man into God or make God into man, both are offensive, isn't it? So, that is why he is saying, here that he is free from karma, free from guna. And sadasat actually means cause and effect. Just like, for example, the table is called as, sat. And the tree is called as asat. Why? Asat means unmanifest. Right now you see the table. Can you see the tree? You can't see it. So tree is called asat. This is called as sat. Sat means that which you can perceive in front of you. So, Lord is the cause of sat and asat, both. Which means he is the cause of tree from which this table has come. Like that. So, Nidan, that is how the word is used. The Lord is not only Bijam, he is the provider of Bijam. Like that. Nisheda Shesho Jayata Dasheshaha. He is saying, Lord is actually, one name of Lord is Shesh. Why? When everything else is destroyed, he remains. So he is called Shesh. And Lord is also called as Ashesha, which means he is inexhaustible. Which means things keep coming out of him, but still there is no, what do you call it? There is no limit. Just like the sun is going on giving light crores of years, it never gets exhausted. Like a parasamani, you touch anything, it becomes gold, 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 everywhere gold, but it remains as it is. So that is called as Ashesha. Lord is like that. So Lord is compared to, like a tree is giving out hundreds and thousands of mangoes. And the tree remains and it goes on giving. Correct, no? So Lord is like the tree. Virksha yivasthabdo divitishtatyekas. Our Shruti mantras give these examples. Lord is compared to a tree, inexhaustible tree. Lord is compared to inexhaustible sun, inexhaustible parasamani. So Ashesha is saying. Nisheda Ashesha Jayata. Jayata Adasheshaha. All glories to that Lord who is Asheshaha. Like that he is saying. Go to 25. Jiji Vishenahamihamuyakim Antar Bahishcha Vritaye Bhayonya Yichamikale Nanayasya Viplavas Tasyatma Loka Varanasya Moksham. See, everybody in this world wants to live Jiji Vishay. What to speak of non-devotees? Even as devotees, we want to live also, isn't it? Is there any devotee who can say, I don't want to live? See, Jiji Vishay means desire for existence. Desire to live. Wanting to live. So, sometimes people say, hey, what is the need of going to Vaikuntha? Why can't you do bhakti here itself? In this world. So these fellows are lazy fellows. They don't want to do the necessary homework to go back to Godhead. They say, kya idhar nahi bhakti kar sakte? People ask like that, no? But actually, Shastra say that one has to purify one's existence to a degree where one has to go back to Godhead. But there are people, even to go back to Godhead, they are afraid. Just like once Narada was given a free quota of any number of jivas he can bring with him to Vaikuntha. So Narada could not get enough count. When he went around, meeting people. At last one man agreed, but he also said, I'll pack my luggage and come. When will you come back? He asked. Narada said, Yad Gatva, once you go, you never come back. That man also said, I'm also not coming. Because the jiva actually wants to live in any position, same position he wants to live. The Indra, when he becomes pig, he wants to be pig only always. Somebody has become this snail, and he likes to be in the snail body only. And somebody is born in one particular situation, narakastopi dehambe napomamsthyaktumichit. Bhagavatam says, Even if a jiva is born in Naraka, he likes the situation, want to be there only, he says. So he's saying, Jijivishe na, he is saying, aham, but I don't desire to live, he is telling. Jijivishe na aham. Iham means in this world. Amuya means in the next life. Neither in this life nor in the next life do I desire to live in this world, in the body of an elephant, he is telling. See, it's not an ordinary thing to say this. Because whatever you say, Lord, Lord will take it seriously. If you say, my dear Lord, I don't want to live in this body, chuck, next moment Lord may take you, you know, give a spiritual body and remove this body. Are we ready? Sometimes there is a fear to die. Say, Lord tells you, I will give you, you know, one needle prick in which you will die, and next moment you will get a 400 form and you can come with me to spiritual world. So we have to think whether we'll be ready for it. Although many of us may say right now, I'll be ready to go. We may raise hand also because we know it's not going to happen so easily. You know, isn't it? But when the actual situation comes, there is a story of how once there was a man who was like, you know, 80-year-old man, but he had no vairagya. Although age had gone, but he had no vairagya. So one Guruji wanted to teach him vairagya. So he told this man, you pretend to be dead. You lie down in your house. So he pretended to be dead. And then the Guruji had told, never get up until I come personally. When you hear my voice, you should get up. Till then, don't get up. So he lied down. Then all the family members cried that, alas, alas, you are dead, you are gone away. Generally, people don't cry. They only cry crocodile tears, because if somebody is 80, 90, people are ready to leave them. So this fellow, when he died, they were all crying, and you could hear the sound of all the people crying. So he was feeling, should I get up and tell them I am all right? But then he controlled himself, Guruji has told. And then suddenly some Yamadutas came. Actually, the Guruji had arranged some dramatic Yamadutas, just like we do dramas now. We do drama na sometimes. Like the Guruji had arranged some Yamadutas to go there. So all the family members got very frightened. And Yamadutas said, you know, now we are about to take him away. We are about to take him. But we give you a choice. In his place, if any of you is ready to die, then we will take you and he will become alive, he said. Then everybody looked at his wife, who was also 76 or 77 years old. They said, anyway, you are very old. You know, aapka jivan to ho gaya abhi. Like that. And she said, how can you all look at me? I have so many things to do. I am the one who cooks at home. You know, my son is going for a job and my daughter-in-law is also going for a job. If I don't cook, how will the home run? Then she was looking at the daughter-in-law. Because she told her son, even if she goes, no problem, you can marry another girl always. And daughter-in-law got wild. You always aim at me only. Like that. She was. Then the daughter-in-law, was looking at her. So in this way, they were all looking at one another. And none of them are ready to spare their life. And then they told Yamadutas that, you know, take this old man only. He's after all 80 plus only. Why are you giving us this choice? We don't need this choice. You take him and go. And that man wanted to jump and tell everybody. Then Guruji came. At that time, Guruji came at the door. So as soon as Guruji sound he heard, immediately he jumped up. He got up and all the people were shocked. They were surprised. And the man told all of them, now I understand how much I am wanted and how much I am not wanted. How much I am wanted means how much I am not wanted. And they all said, yes, sir. And they were feeling little shy. And the Guruji was asking, would you like to come with me? So then last turn he looked at all the family members. They all kept silent. Then he understood, I can go with Guruji now. Then he went with Guruji. He developed vairagya. But why did I tell this story? Here he says here, Jijivishe na aham iha hamuya kim. In this life or next life, I don't desire to live, but I understand that man was 80 plus, I was telling you, but Gajendra was a king of the jungle. He was king of even the lions and tigers in the jungle. You all heard the first part of the Gajendra Moksha, the first chapter, correct? You know, when he was walking in the jungle, his feet would touch the ground, thudding, boom, boom. Then all the big animals would fear him. Like even the lions and tigers and others also. And in the other side of the forest, the small creatures like porcupine and rabbits, they lived by the, you know, without fear they lived because they had taken permission from Gajendra to live there peacefully. So, Gajendra was not an ordinary person. He was surrounded by his relatives, surrounded by friends, family members. Actually, especially, you know, if you are in a very opulent position, we will not want to leave. Especially if you are, say, very rich, if you have comfortable bungalow, car, facilities, you are having good earning also, and especially family members are all conducive and, you know, favorable to you, and they are not causing you any headache or trouble. Everything is nice. Who would want to live a very pleasant lifestyle? Because generally we look for a pleasant life. And Gajendra had it. But he is saying, such a cozy, comfortable lifestyle is simply an impediment to developing love for Krishna. So, because it makes me complacent. I go to the comfort zone. Let me get rid of comfort zone and go back to Godhead, he said. Antar bahischa avrataye bhayonya, he is telling. Inside and outside, I am a fool. I am an ignorant person, he said. Why? Because I am an elephant. And we elephants are not very intelligent, he said. Why? You see, a small boy sits on the top of elephant, have you seen? If the elephant took his trunk and pulled him down and bit him onto the ground, in a few seconds he can kill him. But the elephant fears him that this boy is having a stick in his hand and he's going to stick me or beat me with that. He is fearing that small ankush, small stick. That is why elephant is considered a fool. Another reason elephant is considered foolish is because a male elephant is captured by, they put some bamboo sticks and dry leaves and everything. On the other side, they keep one doll of a female elephant. They keep. So the male elephant goes running very fast to meet the female elephant. All the bamboos break and it falls into the pit. And then for 4 or 5 days, they don't give him water, no food. So he becomes very, very hungry and weak. And he sits down. He becomes very skinny. At that time, they bring a lorry and they put chain around his body and they put some food for him in the lorry, some grass and everything, and they take him inside. And then they train him in the zoo, how to sit in a stool and how to do different activities and all. Correct, no? So in this way, the elephant becomes controlled by human beings like that. So he said, I am an elephant, so I am foolish. You know, we are easily captured. You know, we are easily controlled by even a small stick. All the more we are ignorant about spiritual life. We have no knowledge. Correct, no? Actually, we should put ourselves in this position as conditioned souls when we are ignorant. And then he says, Echami kalena nayasya viplava. He is saying, my dear Lord, by the passage of time, the ignorance will not go. For example, imagine you are in your house at night, 9 o'clock, you are eating prasad. Suddenly the fuse, it blows off. When there is a fuse blow off, sometimes when there is an overload, you put some heater or something, you put, but the fuse is gone now. Now somebody tells you, just to wait for some time, it will come. Will it come? You have to do something for it to come. You have to take a torch light and put the new fuse wire or something. So by passage of time, the darkness will not go and the power will not come. Correct, no? You have to make an endeavor to again put a new fuse. In the same manner, he says, Ichchami kalena nayasya viplava. The darkness in our hearts cannot be dissipated by passage of time. All of you ask yourself this question. As someone gets older, do you think they become better and better devotees? If you say like that, then 90-year-old people must be Mahabhagavad devotees. And the small children should be the most ignorant, isn't it? But age is not the criteria for spiritual advancement. Because you will see that even after one becomes 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, the mental attachments don't go away very easily unless we painstakingly cleanse them by chanting the holy name. Purify the heart. That's what he is saying. And then he is saying, Tasyatma loka varanasya moksham. I only want freedom from this avaranasya moksham. This ignorant avaran. This avaran of this elephantine body. I want to get rid of that. Like that he is telling. And then he is saying, Soham Vishvasrijam Vishvam Avishvam Vishvavedasam Vishvatmanam Ajam Brahma Pranatosmi Parampadam.
Now, fully desiring release from material life, I offer my respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Person who is the creator of the universe, who is himself the form of the universe, and who is nonetheless transcendental to this cosmic manifestation.
Yeah.
He is the supreme knower of everything in this world, the super soul of the universe. He is the unborn, supremely situated Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him.
Yes. So, he is telling here, now fully desiring release from material life, I offer my namaskar. He is saying, pranatosmi parampadam, which means, I am surrendering to the Lord, although I don't know about him much. Like that he is telling. See, this is the beauty of Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga means humility. I am surrendering to Lord, but without much knowledge, he is telling. You see, bowing down to Lord is wonderful. But having knowledge about the Lord and then bowing down is even more wonderful. But to have knowledge about the Lord and bow down to him and claim that I have no knowledge, that is most wonderful, which Gajendra is doing. He is not ignorant, because you can see how smart, intelligent he is in offering prayers. But despite possessing knowledge, he claims he is ignorant, just like Kunti Maharani is telling, you know, what she is saying, that my dear Lord, there is one very beautiful Tamil song. In that song also the same point comes. Kurayanrum illai malai murti kanna, kurayanrum illai kanna, kurayanrum illai govinda, kannukku theriyamal nirkinrai kanna, கண்ணுக்கு தெரியாமல் நின்றாலும் எனக்கு குறையொன்றும் இல்லை மலை மூர்த்தி கண்ணா. You know what she is saying? Our pure devotee singing. He is saying that குறையொன்றும் இல்லை மலை மூர்த்தி. Oh, dear Balaji, who is standing on the top of the Venkata hill, குறையொன்றும் இல்லை. I don't have any complaints to offer you. I am simply satisfied with whatever you have given me. He's saying. And then, kannukku theriyamal nirkinrai kanna means, oh my dear Lord, you are actually standing without being accessible to my eyes. But still I have no worry that I can't see you. I know that you are there in every atom. Goloka nivasit akilatma bhuto, you are there. I am satisfied with the knowledge about you, which I have heard from great souls. And then she is saying,
Thirayen pen nirkinrai kanna, unnai marayodum jnanigal mattume kaanbar.
Now what he is saying? You are hidden from our vision, but I have heard that only great Vaishnava saints who constantly recite your glories, they only get to see you. That I have heard. So, they are seeing you and they are revealing you to us. And that revelation is enough for me, he is saying. Why? Because I have no yogyata to demand that you come in front of me. So, same thing what Kunti is telling. Kunti is telling, please repeat this. Tata paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhana artham katham pashyema hi striyah. She is telling, oh my dear Lord Krishna, you are seeable by those who are clean hearted, paramahamsas. And we myself, like I am an ordinary woman, and neither am I learned nor am I greatly pure like the mahatmas. How katham pashyema hi striyah? And Prabhupada gave a beautiful heading to that chapter in Kunti TQK book. Anybody knows what title Prabhupada gave for the chapter? the most intelligent woman, Prabhupada said. Similarly, here also Gajendra is most intelligent elephant. Because he is saying, Pranatosmi Parampadam, I am just offering you, surrendering to you, Lord, I have no knowledge about you, but actually he is very knowledgeable. Like that. And he is saying, you are Vishwasrijam, you are creator of the universe. Vishwam, you are yourself the universe. Because you are the Virat Purusha, you are yourself the universe. Avishwam, but you are not just the universe. Beyond this universe, you are existing as Vishnu. You know, you become the Virat Purusha, but Virat Purusha emanates from the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu's body. And ultimately as Mahavishnu and Vaikuntha also and Krishna, you are beyond, that's why you are Avishwam. And you are also Vishwa Vedasam, he is saying. You are the ingredient of all the 24 material elements. You are that also. And Vishwatmanam, you are the soul of the universe. Like in our body, there is a soul. Similarly, for the universe, there is a soul. Like our body is doing so many activities now. Similarly, the soul is, the Lord's soul is making the whole universe function. Lord Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is called as a universal soul. So he's called as Vishwatmanam. Ajam, you are unborn. Brahma, you are greatest. Supreme. Pranatosmi, Parampadam. I am surrendering to the Supreme Lord and I am seeking your shelter. Like that is telling. Yogarandita karmano hridi yoga vibhavite yogino yam prapashyanti yogesham tam natosmyaham. He is saying yogarandita karmana. Actually, yogarandita karmana means those people who have burnt away their karma by doing bhakti yoga. See, Prabhupada gives very mathematically how a devotee becomes purified. He says that first a devotee in this world may be a kind of religious person doing dharmartha kama moksha. And he may be, you know, living a normal material life with some religiosity. But when he meets a devotee, then the devotee does two things. He gives the person holy name as the best gift. Then he gives the katha of the Lord. So the katha of the Lord gradually enlightens us and enlivens us about the Lord. And the chanting of the holy name goes straight into the heart and it cleanses the heart. So in this way, the katha that we hear gradually destroys anarthas in our heart also. But the holy name is a direct medicine to the heart. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam also that Yannama Shruti Matrena Puman Bhavati Nirmalaha, it says. Nama Shruti Se Chitta Nirmal Hotaha, it is said. Similarly, Nashta Praya Shabadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavatir Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Two things happen. All that is troublesome to our heart will be destroyed. Secondly, the Naishtiki Bhakti will be established in the throne of our heart. It is said. So what is troublesome to our heart? Prabhupada says three things. Kama, Krodha and Lobh, he says. They produce a lot of anxiety for us, he says. So they are all removed and the heart becomes like a temple, cleansed and everything. So this is Yoga Randita Karmano. Hridi Yoga Vibhavite. Yoga Vibhavita means completely purified and clean. Our heart blossoms once it becomes cleaned. And yoginaha, the great mystics, yogis and everybody, yam prapashyanti. After the heart is clean, we will directly see Krishna. Just like in a mirror, if there is a lot of dust, you take a wet cloth and you wipe it like this, then you can clearly see your face. Like that, when our heart is cleansed, whom do you see in the heart? The super soul. Clearly one can see. Actually, before we see super soul, we hear the sound of super soul. Which means, to the degree we live our life in accordance to Krishna consciousness, whenever we go slightly wrong, immediately your antenna is on. You can see that. As soon as you go slightly deviate, immediately, like in San Diego, in one house, just like this ceiling, they had made the ceiling and everything, and they had made a yajna kund, and they created the fire. And suddenly, a lot of water started pouring. So the Brahmana priest got shocked. He thought that our yajna was so perfect, rain started coming. Here only, inside the house only. Then all the house people came running. How the water came? Because they have sensor. What sensor? Smoke sensor they have in houses. Many of the Western people, they keep smoke sensors. So, as soon as the fire, wherever there is a fire spark, immediately ton 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 make sound. Yeah? Like that. So, similarly, we also will become alert to our anarthas when we become more and more pure, purified. Yeah? And then, so we hear the sound of super soul. This is proper, this is improper. Don't say it, don't think it. Initially, don't do it. Later on, don't say it. Later on, don't even think about it. So in this way, gradually our heart will become purified. And then one will see the super soul eye to eye. That is, yogino, yogino yam prapashyanti. Like we say, you know, hridayeshu vilokayanti. What that was? Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santaha sadaiva hridayeshu vilok. Same thing he is telling. Yogino yam prapashyanti. Yogesham tam natosyaham. See, Yogish, you all know who is Yogish? Not Krishna. Shiva. Ish means the master. Yogi means amongst the yogis. The master of all yogis is Lord Shiva. Krishna is Yogesh. Yogesh actually means he is master of Shiva also. Let's say here the word Yogesham is used. Tam natosmyaham. I offer my obeisances to Lord Yogesha, who is Krishna, who is the awarder of fruits of all our activity. Like you work in the company, you get a salary. Correct? You get some award or reward or whatever. You study in a college, you get a certificate at the end of the course. Similarly, now we are chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the Lord says, I will award you. Yoga Kshemam, Vahamyaham, he says. Is there any company which says you chant our company name and salary will come to you at the end of the month? Any company like that? But Krishna says, Yoga Kshemam, Vahamyaham. I will protect my devotees. I provide what you lack and I preserve what you have. Actually, this has a very, very deep meaning. See, what will happen to you if you become a devotee? You may not become a millionaire or a billionaire, but your heart will become very big. And you will be very satisfied with what you get. Somebody was getting, say, 25,000 rupees salary. Before becoming devotee, he looked at others and said, he is getting 8 lakh per annum, he is getting 12 lakh per annum. He will be burning in the heart always with 25,000 per month. But once you become a devotee, this 25,000 appears like 2.5 lakh for you. It appears very big for you. Because your expenditure reduces, your attraction goes to Krishna. So Krishna makes your heart very big and satisfied heart. Like that, he awards the results, he says. Namo namastubhyam asahya vega shaktitrayaya akiladhi gunaya prapannapalaya duranta shaktaye kadindriyana manavapya vartmane.
My Lord, you are the controller of formidable strength in three kinds of energy. You appear as the reservoir of all sense pleasure and the protector of the surrendered souls. You possess unlimited energy, but you are unapproachable by those who are unable to control their senses. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again.
Yeah. So the three potencies are explained in the Vishnu Purana. Please repeat this verse. Vishnu Shakti Parahprokta Kshetra Jnakya Tatha Para Avidya Karma Sanyaya Tritiya Shakti Rishyate. So, Tritiya Shakti means third one. So, the first Shakti is Antaranga Shakti, spiritual world. Second Shakti is Bahiranga Shakti. And the third one is Tatasa Shakti, he is telling. So he is telling, Asahya Vega means formidable strength. You are the controller of the formidable strength in these three kinds of energy. So see, the purport Prabhupada is writing, attachment, greed and lust are three formidable forces that prevent one from concentrating upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. These forces act because Supreme Lord does not like to be realized by non-devotee atheists. However, when one surrenders, these impediments are withdrawn. Elsewhere Prabhupada writes, Maya is catching us, our neck like this. You know, we are under her and she is pushing us with kama, krodha, lobha. But you chant more and more, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and you read more and more, gradually the grip of Maya on your neck will reduce. Any of you had experience after coming to Krishna consciousness? Slowly the grip reduced, you will see that. But for that we have to chant intensely. Then when you chant powerfully, then Maya will be shot down. So Radha Gopinath Prabhu says, this is like a gun. And these are the bullets. You know, you move the bullet, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So in this way, you can defeat Maya very easily by chanting. And in case 16 rounds are a big struggle for you, you find it like climbing a mountain, then chant 25 rounds. Then you will see 16 rounds will become very easy. Yeah, it's a fact actually. Ekadashi day, when you chant more and more rounds, 16 rounds become very easy. So in this way, he's saying that the forces become watered by the three gunas. See, the whole material activities in the material world are watered by what? Three gunas. Sattva, rajas, tamas, correct, no? But as we become spiritually progressive, then we gradually become aloof. And then we approach Krishna more and more easily. We go. And Kadindriya, there are two types of senses. Kadindriya, Sadindriya. You know where this word comes, Kadindriya? You know this fellow, what is his name? Yayati Raja. So he told one verse, please repeat this beautiful verse. I'll try to recollect. I studied it many years ago. What is that word? Sarum Kadindrehi. Okay, one part of it comes to my mind. Vidada api natrapyad sarvabhauma kadindriyehi. Either he say. How it begins? Okay, repeat this verse. Evam varsha sahasrani manashashtair manasukham vidadano api natrapyat sarvabhauma kadindriyehi. See, that is saying, evam varsha sahasrani. Oh, Devyani, he told, 1,000 years, you know, we try to live in the affluence of this palace life. What type of foods we ate, what type of lavish dresses we wore, what type of enjoyments we had. But he said that all these enjoyments we had, but still my heart is empty. I am feeling very sad. Vidadano api natrupyad. Even after enjoying for a long time, still tripti is not coming. Any of you had experience, sometimes you drink water, you finished, you know, 4-5 glasses of water, still the throat is running dry. You had experience? Sometimes it happens. So he said, it's like that, sense gratification, he said. And then he said, I am a sarvabhauma, king of the whole world, but I am not able to control my situation. And because my senses are impure senses, he said, kadindriya. Now I will make them into sadindriya. When we make it sadindriya, we what is that verse? Sevon mukhehi jivado, that was, what is the first part? Atasri Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Grahyam Indriya. Our senses are compared to iron rod which is put in fire when we come to Krishna consciousness. Just as the iron rod and fire glows, similarly, our senses, when they chant the holy name, when we do devotional service, they start glowing with bhakti. He says it's like they become effulgent with bhakti. Then our senses will lose taste for lower things. Our lower taste will be gone, higher taste will be born. Like that is telling. So that is what he is saying about Kadindriya. And Kadindriya people cannot access Krishna. See, Kadindriya is like a log of wood which has no fire. But Sadindriya is like a log of wood which is red hot, which is glowing like that. Like he says, you know, our Dhruva Maharaj. What he says? Yonta pravishyamama vachamimam prasuptam sanjeevayat tegila shakti daraswadhamna anyasta hasta charana shravanat pagadin prana namo bhagavate purushayatubhyam. My dear Lord, you touched me with your shank on my head. My whole body has become electrified. It has become like lightning by your touch. It has become spiritualized, he said. So like this, we need spiritualized senses to see and experience Krishna's qualities and pastimes. With mundane senses, grahya senses, we cannot access. So we have to do three things. We have to do sadhana, we have to do seva, and we have to do swadhyaya. See, sadhana cleanses material desires in the chitta. And seva is also said, seva on vagehi, jivada. Swaratyada means Lord directly reveals himself when we do seva for him. Says. And the swadhyaya also, study of the scriptures enlightens us. So in this way, we are coming to the concluding verse of Gajendra's prayer. Nayam vedasumatmanam yachaktyaham dhiyahatam tam duratyaya mahatmyam bhagavantam yitosmyaham. So earlier he said natosmyaham, now he says yitosmyaham. Three verses he is telling, natosmyaham, natosmyaham, natosmyaham. My surrender to that Lord, yes?
I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose illusory energy the jiva, who is part and parcel of God, forgets his real identity because of the bodily conception of life. I take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose glories are difficult to understand.
See, he is very intelligent devotee. He is telling, my dear Lord, when I wanted to become forgetful, you only helped me as super soul. Because matta smritir jnanam. So you are expert in putting us to forgetfulness. At the same time, you are also expert in reminding us about you. At that time, I want to forget you. It's all right. You made me forget you. But now I want to remember you. So make me remember. Like that is telling. This verse. That is concluding. Now, Shukadeva Goswami is telling. So we will explain about it next time. Just two, three sentences we will say and we will conclude. Shri Shukavuvacha. Evam Gajendram Upavarnita Nirvishesham Brahmadayo Vipidalinga Vidabhimanaha Naite Yado Pasasrupur Nikilatmakatvat Tatrakila Maramayo Hariravirasit. See, Evam Gajendram Upavarnitam, Upavarnita Nirvishesham. This Nirvishesha should not be understood as impersonal God or something. Nirvishesha means what? Sometimes we say, tell a person, you give him some Jagannath Puri Prasad or something and you say, Nirvishesha Rupse Bantva Kardo. If you say like that, the meaning is you don't have to look at the face of people. Who are you giving to? You can just give it to everybody. That is called Nirvishesham. Similarly, Gajendra, in all these prayers, he has not yet mentioned the name of the Lord till now. But he is actually offering prayer to some person whose name he has forgotten. He is not remembering. But he is remembering all his activities and qualities and all. He is taking. That is why the word Nirvish is used here. Upavaranita. But he has described about that person. Like, you know, if somebody says, oh, that person actually stands under a Vamshiva tree, he plays on the flute, he doesn't stand direct, he stands with threefold bending form, he wears a pitambar, he has a Vaijantimala garland, you know, he has a peacock feather on his forehead. I only forgot the name of that person, you know. Like that is Gajendra's situation now. He is not describing about some impersonal God, he is talking about a personal God, but only name he has forgotten because he has occupied animal body. Brahma Adayo Vipidalinga Vidabhimanaha. That means Brahma and other demigods like Shiva, Indra, they were all there. Shiva thought, I am a Vajradhari. He should call me. Why is he not calling me? Brahma thought, I have four heads. This fellow is not calling me. I can also do. Like that, all the different, they were all Vidabhimanaha. I mean, they have the abhimana of considering themselves as authorities of the universe. They thought, we are the controllers of this universe. And we care for the affairs of the universe. How this fellow is not calling us? So they had little, actually they felt offended. Because of that, they committed offense against the Lord. You understand, no? To feel offended that I am not given respect, that feeling itself is offense to Lord. Why? They should have seen themselves as parts and parcels of the Lord. Then they would not have anticipated respect. So like that. And then, Naite Yadopa Sasrapur Nikilatma Katvat is telling. And then none of them approached him, they were waiting. And then now, because Lord Hari is a super soul, he appeared before Gajendra. See the last line. Tatrat kilamara mayo harir avirasit. I wanted to conclude with this because I didn't want to leave the elephant in the crocodile's jaws. And after he offered prayer, all of you will go very sadly that he kept on calling poor Gajendra. Lord never came. Now you be assured that avirasit means the Lord has appeared now. So after the Lord appeared, what he did, we will begin with that and we will go to the next chapter and conclude the whole Gajendra Moksha section in the next sitting when we come. Krishna Bhagavan ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Thank you very much.